You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Monday the 27th of September 2021 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Well, I thought today we would have a look at a speech which Viktor Orban recently gave to a conference in Hungary. And regular listeners will know we quite often feature Viktor Orban because he really is the best politician that we have in Europe at the moment that shows concern for his people. And this speech that he was actually giving was specifically about demographics, which is, of course, a problem which we are all facing in white countries. We're facing this demographic challenge where our governments have chosen to replace the indigenous people with new peoples from over the other side of the world. And Viktor Orban is refusing to go along with that. And instead of making up for the lost numbers by the low fertility rate by importing another people, he is encouraging the Hungarians to produce more Hungarians. Hungary's Prime Minister Viktor Orban believes the mass migration agenda is part of a global plan to create a new proletariat in the West, advanced by people who care nothing for culture and national identity and consider only economics. And by referring to the proletariat there, he is of course referring to the Bolsheviks and their plan of getting the workers of the world to unite and overthrow the aristocracy and overthrow all the intelligentsia within the country. And of course, that didn't actually work out because people have a much stronger ethnic identity than they do just by identifying with other workers, and that failed. So what they did, the people that were behind this, they thought, well, what we will do is we will create a new proletariat. What we will do is we will encourage the differences between people. We will get the ethnic minorities and the sexual minorities, and we will promote them as an identity for people to unite around, and we'll change it from being against the upper classes. We'll change it to being against white people, basically, and Western civilization. And what they're doing now is importing these different peoples into places like Europe and America. And most of the time, these different peoples will vote for these left-wing parties. So it benefits the parties on the left to import these new people. And also they will vote on bloc as well. You may notice that the Labour Party will court the Muslim vote. And that is because the imams will instruct the Muslims on who to vote for. And it's the same with these various different minority communities that we have. Their community leaders will advise them on who the best person to vote for is. So this is what he means by this new proletariat that is being created. Speaking at the 4th Budapest Demographic Conference, organised as a forum where pro-family policies and other measures to reverse population decline without resorting to mass immigration, Orban addressed attendees including former US Vice President Mike Pence, the President of Serbia, the Serbian President of Bosnia, and the Prime Ministers of Slovakia and Slovenia, noting that the cause of national conservatism had suffered sensitive political losses in recent years. And that's because we don't have national conservatism anymore. We just have notional conservatism. the notion that the people that are in power are actually conservative, when all they do is conserve the liberal and left-wing policies of the last left-wing government. President Trump was not able to continue his work in the United States after January 2021, Orban lamented, while former Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is now in opposition. And God knows what will happen in Germany this Sunday when Angela Merkel's notionally centre-right party may be displaced by a left-wing government, possibly including the communist Marxist Left Party in national elections. And of course, he refers to Benjamin Netanyahu here because in Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu is a right-wing politician. We may associate with the diaspora Jews, with left-wing policies. Actually, in Israel itself, they do have some pretty strong right-wing policies that actually came from Benjamin Netanyahu. And with the election that happened in Germany, thankfully, the left party actually got less than 5%. The Alternative for Deutschland party, I think they got 11%. They got a couple of percent less than they normally do. And Angela Merkel's party that normally wins, they just came second. And they were slightly beaten by the SPD, which is the centre-left party. But Orban continues, like those before me, we are concerned about the advent of the new Marxist, new leftist, woke movement, as it is called in America. We can see that already in kindergartens, they want to miseducate our children. They use children as gay pride activists. They are telling children about the free choice of gender. This is part of the new Marxist woke program, he warned. And he actually referred to pride activists. I'm sure most of you have noticed that they've stopped calling it gay pride now. It's just called pride, as if the only thing that anybody should ever take any pride in is being homosexual. Of course, we're not allowed to take any pride in being European. That would be white pride, and that is forbidden. Decades of Soviet communist domination, however, has inoculated former Eastern Bloc countries such as Hungary and Poland against the woke virus, and in his view, Hungary's history is protecting them against the cultural left. And this is what we see. We see that the countries that were formerly communist are the countries that are providing the strongest resistance to this cultural Marxist program that is going on. You can look at Poland, Slovakia, Hungary, to a certain extent, even Austria. And of course, Austria wasn't actually under the communists, but they do border Hungary, and there is a cross-pollination of ideas there. If you look online, if you look at the Visegrad groups, the official Twitter accounts for Visegrad, they often put a lot of information up there that all nationalists will support. And that is a block of four countries. I think it's actually led by Hungary, and they're really the most organized resistance that there is to what's going on here. And of course, it is essentially an existential threat, because if you end up becoming a minority within your own country through the interbreeding that will inevitably occur, your nation will end up being bred out of existence. And of course, when I'm talking about nation here, I'm referring to the ethnic nation, which is where the word actually comes from. It comes from the word natal, which means birth. So a nation is a group of people that are united through birth, not united through where they were born, but actually united through who it was that bore them or that gave birth to them. As a result, the Hungarian leader suggested his government and like-minded administrations in the region can see the divide on demographics more clearly. Is it a problem that the population is in decline? He asked. The West just does not want to maintain itself. Let's not beat around the bush. Certain civilizations are able to reproduce. The Western civilization is not able to reproduce, so much so that they are unable to decide whether this is a problem at all. And it came out last week that in Britain we have a serious problem, that we're not producing enough to replace the people that are already here. And that's also going for new immigrants that come to the country, or people that have been in the country for the last two generations. They're not producing as much either. All the population growth is being driven by immigration, which of course is a problem, because you're going to end up with a completely different people being in the country than the ones that actually built the country in the first place. And the cause of why people aren't producing children, and it would suggest that if the newcomers are also not producing children, then it's not something that is unique to white people. It must be something to do with an ideology. And I would suggest it's to do with the ideology of feminism. Feminism is encouraging women not to produce children, not to settle down, to think that it's much better for them to pursue a career. Plus, we have all this propaganda that we shouldn't be producing children because of the environmental pressure that it is putting on our resources. So you have people thinking that it's a noble thing to do to not produce any children. Of course, naturally, producing children is exactly what you should do, because everything is provided for you by your parents, and everything was provided for them by their parents, your grandparents. And how is it that you pay your parents and your grandparents and your great-grandparents and all your ancestors back? Well, you pay them back by producing descendants for them. And that's the natural way that it should be seen. It should be seen as our duty to provide grandchildren to our parents. That's how we pay them back, basically. And of course, we also seek to improve the world for the next generation. And if you cut out this part of reproducing yourself, then you're doing nothing for your ancestors. You're showing the ultimate ingratitude to them for everything that they did for us. And Viktor Orban understands this. He understands that if you change the Hungarian population for another population, then it will no longer be Hungary. They will no longer be Hungarians. He says some of them are of the opinion that this is not a problem, and they argue that by increasing productivity and by developing technology, fewer people will be able to generate more goods, more public good. Mechanized production, artificial intelligence, and automated economy, human labor doesn't count anymore. That is the technocratic Silicon Valley solution, he explained. And there are others who sense the problem of declining demographics and they want migration. They believe alien peoples from distant lands should be moved in, and that will stop the demographic decline. But mass migration, the millions of people who have been lured here, are basically a global plan of moving in the new proletariat, he accused, adding that the promoters of this worldview do not take into account the cultural aspect of democracy. In actual fact, they are cheating democracy. The whole idea of democracy was that it would be one ethnicity that was deciding the way that that ethnicity wanted to be ruled, that the way that that group wanted to be ruled. The idea of importing peoples from another ethnicity and counting them as if they had the same right to be taking part in the democracy as the original ethnicity, they would have just seen that as a completely crazy idea, an absolutely insane idea. It's cheating to just import a whole new demographic if you don't like what the original demographic is voting for. Migration, Orban explained, is an identity issue, and a country will only be viable if its citizens share largely the same values. If not the nation, then the country will fall apart. And of course, they understand this in Britain, and they said, well, what we need to do is we need to get everybody sharing the same values. But what they are then putting forward as being British values are not things that are going to prevent the country from falling apart. You cannot say, well, we all share the same value of multiculturalism. That's the equivalent of saying we all share the same value of diversity being a strength. That's like saying that division is a strength. We all share the value of being divided into different groups, broken down into smaller units. That's not a value. That's not going to protect the nation. That is what is actually breaking our nation apart. So you cannot just be united around values. And also, what strength does values have? I mean, one of the oldest sayings that we have is that blood is thicker than water. And that is essentially saying that family relations are stronger than anything else. They're going to be stronger than any shared values. If we look at what happened in Afghanistan, you had people that shared values with the might of the biggest empire the world has probably ever known, the American Empire, being taken on by a group of mountain men who shared ethnicity. And the group that shared ethnicity, fighting in their sandals, they defeated the world empire that was united by its shared values. Values count for nothing when it is your family that is at stake. And that's what we're talking about here with identity. Your essential identity is your ethnicity. It's not where you were born. It's not what hospital you were born in or what town you were born in. It's who it was that bore you. It's your ancestors that define what your identity is. And your ancestors are your nation, basically. Hungary's plan to reverse demographic decline while rejecting mass migration to maintain its cultural identity and social cohesion, Orban told the conference, is built around the fundamental principle that the state has to protect the family, and the state has to do away with all the obstacles to establishing families as the building blocks of society. And this is very profound, because that's what a nation is. It's an extended family. It's a group of families that are all interconnected together, that share their ancestry, and that's what a nation is, and the state should be there to protect the nation, to advance the cause of that nation, and the state should be made up from members of that nation. So what they're identifying here is that the way to protect that is to protect the essential building blocks. And what we're told in the West with a liberal democracy is that the individual building blocks are individuals. And of course, no man is an island. An individual cannot exist on his own. He has to rely on all the people around him. So in actual fact, the smallest unit is really the family. And from that, you get the extended family, and from that, you get the nation. And when we look at it like that, we can see that the promotion of homosexuality, the promotion of feminism, the promotion of transgenderism, the promotion of abortion, the promotion of divorce, all of that is essentially weakening the family ties. And you can extend from these family ties that are being weakened, you can see that the nation is being weakened. Now, who is it that would benefit from weakening a nation? Well, the other nations would benefit. What we basically have is we have competing groups within society. We have competing ethnic groups, and they all compete to advance the causes of their people. And it benefits them if they can weaken their competitors. The same as in any competition or any game, if you can weaken your competitors or outsmart them, then that is going to benefit you. So this is why we see support for these. For instance, this is why we would see support for multiculturalism and immigration into Western countries. And we would see groups such as Jews that would be supporting that into Western countries. But when Jews are in Israel, they will not support the concept of multiculturalism, and they will not support the concept of immigration into their country, because it would be silly for them to do that. And you would expect them to advocate for immigration into other countries, because that's weakening their competitors. It's just basic Darwinian evolutionary strategy that groups would do that. The problem is that we don't see that that is what is going on. As Europeans, we're given this mantra that diversity is a strength, that multiculturalism is great. And very few of us actually think it through and work out that actually it's suicide. It's not a great idea, and it's weakening our nation. The other nations in the world understand this. You wouldn't see China replacing itself. You wouldn't see Japan replacing itself. You wouldn't see India replacing itself. You just see this happening within Europe. There is a serious issue amongst Europeans at the moment. We're having an identity crisis. And when people like ourselves here at Radio Albion, when we speak about this identity crisis and when we try to warn people about it and when we try to take positive steps to retain our identity, we get accused of hate speech for doing so. And it's actually the opposite of hate speech that we're talking about. We're talking about love for your own people and trying to do what is best for your own people. And that doesn't mean you hate any other people. It doesn't mean that you want bad things to happen to any other people. You just want what is best for your people. And the extension from that is what is best for all the other peoples in the world as well. To that end of reversing demographic decline, the Central European country's family policy was constructed around the principle that having children should be an advantage financially and not a disadvantage, given the plain fact that negative economic consequences for starting a family will discourage many from having children in the first place. And of course, we are looking at this in a negative way nowadays. We look at this and we say, oh, more mouths to feed. That's going to put more of a strain on resources. Whereas the way that we should be looking at it is the more people that there are born, the more innovation that there's going to be, the more chance that geniuses are going to be born, the more work there is that can be done, and each one of those children is an asset to the nation. If you're just having other nations that are growing within your nation, they're not going to be an asset to your nation. They're going to be a drain on your nation. Again, this is why multiculturalism is no good. And this is the way that Orban is looking at this. He's thinking, well, if we import different ethnic groups into Hungary, they're not going to be an asset to the nation, are they? They're going to be a drain to the nation. They're going to be using up Hungary's resources to benefit this other ethnic group rather than benefiting the Hungarians. I mean, it's so in your face what is actually going on here, but so many of us just fail to realise it. The Hungarian leader acknowledged, of course, that it is very easy to dole out money to families. You don't need much brains to do that. But we know that if we dole out too much money, that will first slow down economic performance and later destroy the economy. And so his administration has pursued unorthodox steps to strike a balance between family support and consistent economic growth. These have included the introduction of grandparental leave, the suspension of student loan repayments for young women expecting a child, and student debt forgiveness after a certain number of children, as well as exempting mothers of four from income tax for life and government-backed loans for the purchase of family homes and cars, among other measures. The interesting part that I pick up on this is this student debt forgiveness after a certain number of children for women. So they're encouraging women to still study and get their degrees, but then they're also encouraging them to start a family and have lots of children, and then their student loan will be forgiven. So you get a double win there. You still get the extra children, and at the same time, you also get women that have been educated to a high standard. Mothers, he explained, were at the heart of the policies, due to the hard fact that women are most likely to enter the workforce right at the time when they would otherwise be most likely to be having children, something they may end up drastically delaying or never doing at all, even if they would like to, if there is no economic rationale for it. We want women to be able to choose, he said, explaining that if they want, they can work, but that they should never feel that they need to work to survive under the Hungarian economic model. And if we look at how things used to be in the past, a man used to be able to earn enough wages to provide for a wife and four children. And you used to have some families in the past that had 10 children. We used to reproduce at least double the number that we needed to, and that was all paid for just from one man's wage. Now that we've got women into the jobs market as well, we need two people to work to provide enough wage to bring up the children. So effectively, what liberating women and getting them into the jobs market has actually done is to halve the wages. So now we need two people working to produce the wages to look after the children. And if you've got two people working, that means there's nobody there to look after the children. So they're being brought up by the state instead. And of course, they're being indoctrinated with this idea that multiculturalism is great. So they're actually being taught that it's a wonderful thing that they are wiping themselves out. As a result of Hungary's policies, Orbán claimed, we have almost doubled marriages and enjoyed a 41% decline in abortion since 2010. But the experiment has not come without its consequences. I should tell you honestly, we are defending ourselves. Hungary is defending itself against attacks from the Western left. They are attacking the traditional family model, he warned. And this is what we see, isn't it? In the mainstream media, we see they're constantly attacking Orbán, constantly attacking Hungary. These attacks have not come only in the form of direct criticism of the economic policies aimed at empowering couples to start families and save the country at large from a demographic time bomb, which are often painted rather ungenerously as a retrograde plot to turn women into baby machines, but through part of a broader cultural push to relativize the notion of the family. And the favored tool for that, Orbán alleged, is the LGBTQ and the gender lobby. And the most recent criticism we have seen of Hungary is that they're having a nationwide poll to see whether parents want their children to be taught that there are more than two genders and that they can change their gender and that two males can have a child and all this homosexual agenda that they're teaching them from the age of five. And of course, the Hungarian people are going to say, no, we don't want our children to be taught this. And because Orbán is actually going to the Hungarians and asking this, he's been attacked, and they're saying that he's being homophobic because of this. But where does it say that homosexuals have a right to propagandize children? Where does it say that they should have a right to access to children? Homosexuality is something that people shouldn't be experimenting with until they've actually been through puberty, until they are an adult. You cannot start propagandizing this to children without the risk of them experimenting with it or changing the direction of their growth. I mean, this is something that should not really be discussed with children until they're of an age where they can understand it. Russia understands this, of course. That's why Russia has similar laws. And we had the same in Britain right up until, I think it was the late 80s. We had a law that was in place that the homosexual lifestyle could not be propagandized to children. And today, now that the homosexual lifestyle can be propagandized to children, of course, we are seeing homosexual activity being talked about in children's storybooks for children under the age of 10. Homosexual activities, pedophile activities are going on in these books. I saw a report over the weekend on Red Ice, and this poor mother, this absolutely horrified mother, was reading out these sections of a children's book that had been put in the school library. It had been chosen by the school itself, and it was just talking about pedophile abuse and pretending that that was a good idea and that was perfectly normal. And that comes from this normalization of homosexuality. This is why you now see there are two princes instead of a prince and a princess and my two dads and all this sort of stuff that is being given to the children. And a lot of the parents aren't aware that this is going on. And it's really good that Orbán is pointing this out and trying to put a stop to it. And he's identified exactly what it is doing. It is weakening the family. And when you weaken the family, you weaken the nation. I mean, this point here that he's been accused of a retrograde plot to turn women into baby machines. I don't understand why women would not want to have babies. I mean, how can they look at the natural world around them and see a duck waddling along with half a dozen little ducklings behind them and not want to do the same? How can they not want to be mothers and fulfill this role that only they can do, that nature has provided them with? It's just so obvious that the only way that they will actually be properly contented with life is if they do what all the other females of the natural world do. That's the prime directive, not to imitate men and try to do the things that men do, who have a third extra body strength. It's incredible the way that women have been propagandized into not capitalizing on their strengths and instead trying to capitalize on their weaknesses. It's just a way to weaken the nation. This is why countries like Afghanistan, they don't want this. They don't want feminism within their country because they know that it will weaken their nation. The Hungarian leader has earned fierce criticism from the European Union for recently passing legislation aimed at tackling this by making it illegal to promote LGBTQ content on things like changing gender to minors in schools and the media. But he believes the Hungarian position is not so far away from that of the Western European public as the outcry would suggest. And I would agree with him with that. The outcry is just in the mainstream media. It's not amongst the general public. If the general public knew the sort of things that we are discussing here at Radio Albion, they would be absolutely scandalized and shocked to think that this was going on, that these are the sort of things that are being taught in the schools. This is what our government are promoting. The general public just don't know about it. And the mainstream media will pretend that there's an outcry and the public are absolutely disgusted. And in actual fact, what they're trying to do, they're trying to direct the public into behaving in that way. We know that the government has a nudge committee, and what the nudge committee do is they direct the soap operas and the television programs to try to change social ideas that we have, change the way that we react to things. Before they brought in all this homosexual agenda, they gradually brought it in into the soap operas, and they would have homosexuals kissing on television. And now it's gone from that to homosexuals within children's cartoons. It's gone all the way to having children's cartoon characters all identifying as a different style of homosexuality. Like some of them are transgender, some of them are S&M in that Blues and Twos, I think it was called, that the animation that was aimed at five-year-olds and under, all going on a gay pride parade. I mean, it's all this sort of thing that people object to, but you wouldn't know that the people were objecting to this if you looked at the mainstream media. Orbán said, in Western Europe and in Brussels, nobody has ever asked the people about LGBTQ propaganda or about migration, he said. And that's very true. When did we ever have an audit to see whether the general public wanted to have mass migration and replace themselves within their own country? Nobody asked us. Nobody asked us if we wanted our children to have homosexual propaganda targeted at them. These things were just done by our representatives. Of course, I would suggest that our representatives are only the same people as us. So why is it that they did these things? Well, they did these things because they're weak. They did these things because they thought they knew better than their ancestors. And we're all at fault in this. We all think that we know better than our ancestors. And we wouldn't do the same things that the people in government have done. But I dare say that the people that are in government, they were given a lot more temptation than we are. And they fell for that temptation. So the solution to this at the individual level is to resist temptation. And at the larger level than that, it is to resist these policies and talk about them to your friends and talk about them to your neighbours. Talk about them when they come up and when you are able to. And let people know that you don't go along with the government's agenda. And that will give them the strength to resist it as well, and eventually we'll have enough people that will have a mass movement that turn around and say, no, we're not having this. Something needs to change, and it will change because it has to eventually. Well, thank you very much for listening. I'll be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion. Talk Radio for the nationalist community.